shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Oh, this is Apostle Henry Walker. I want to invite you to listen to my broadcast, God's Timing is Everything. A broadcast that teaches about God's timing and His seasons. That God's Timing is Everything broadcast, heard every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. on WCNO.
Hello, this is David Wilbur, a professional insurance agent right here on the Treasure Coast for more than 30 years and partner in InsurePro Insurance Agency located in St. Lucie West. My insurance knowledge and years of experience both in insurance and in life in general allow me to provide the right insurance advice to protect you, your family, your business. I am available at 871-6272 or on the web at insurepro.com. David Wilbur and InsurePro, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, known for quality advice and service.
Paul the Apostle said to us, "Brethren, you have been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh." Don't use your liberty, don't use your blessings that God gave you for your own fleshly pursuits.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue the series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19, and Hosea chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. We also want to remind parents that Hosea includes adult-related themes that may not be appropriate for young children. So please use discretion in allowing your children to listen to this message. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will discuss how we are to be good stewards of God's blessings in our lives. Now here's Pastor Bernard with today's program, Take Account of Your Blessings.
Today's Bible study, the title, Take Account of Your Blessings. Take account of your blessings. There was a song that goes, the refrain says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what, who's done it? God. And that will set the template, that will set the stage of our conversation this morning. Blessings come from God. We're going to look at a nation that forgot about that lesson. Ecclesiastes 5:19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. Let's pray. God, we're going to open our text. For Hosea, I thank you for directing me. I ask, and I know that your word does not return empty or void. You have a word for us today. And I ask that we would respond accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. The wisest man, and except there was moments in his life where he was not so wise, but for the most part, King Solomon gives us a statement that we need to take heed. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19, the preacher, if you will, Solomon basically is saying, the results of your labor, a man's or a woman's work, i.e. your wealth and your possessions, your ability to gain wealth, your ability to educate and empower yourself and place yourself in a position to grow. Those gifts, that blessing, your portion. We should rejoice that it is indeed a gift of God. Now, Solomon is not just anybody. This man is speaking from experience. Solomon, his personal wealth, as we know, well exceeds any king, not just of Israel, but any king or any ruler that's ever existed. I'd like you to take note with me for a second. Just write the reference down in 2 Chronicles chapter 9. If you want to know how well off, how blessed, how enormously, how incomparable riches, read about Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 22. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 22, the Bible says, King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. Now, it's important to note something. We're used to what we call old school greenbacks, dollars. Solomon didn't have the kind of money that we had. He had something better. Solomon didn't have money. He had something much more valuable. It's called G-O-L-D, and a lot of it. He had gold and silver and tons of resources. Did you know that every year King Solomon received over 25 tons of gold? Every year. He ruled for 40 years. Every year, do the math, 25 tons of gold, in addition to an astronomical amount of taxes that was paid by merchants and traders of his day. And you can see that again in 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Even the kings of Arabia and the governors of the Israelite different districts, the government was divided into different districts, and every district brought their money to King Solomon. King Solomon would be in a position to say he had the power to say that Bill Gates, well, you can live on food stamps for the next 2 years. And then I'll let you know when you can be a billionaire. Basically, he could tell you this is $10 or this is $10 trillion, and he'll be telling the truth. Let me explain. Taking into account what he received from his father, King David, on today's market, it's estimated that Solomon's money, well, picture $1,000 an ounce of gold, $1,000 an ounce of gold, he would be worth, catch this, $222 trillion. Now, before your mind going out of space with that, because it takes a supernatural mind to understand those numbers, nobody in this room in multiple lifetimes will ever see that kind of money. But isn't that like our God? Ain't nothing too big for God. $222 trillion. Now, just for reference, did you know that the United States economy is sitting at $17 trillion in debt? $17 trillion. Now, Solomon's worth $222 trillion. Now, what's a trillion, a million, a billion? Are they not just numbers, pastors? Well, let me help you out. A million is equal to 1,000,000. A billion is equal to 1,000,000,000. And a trillion, just one, is equal to 1,000,000,000,000. Again, Solomon's worth $222 trillion. And let that set in about blessing. Can't even compare. It exceeds our comprehension, does it not? Well, again, I would like you to hear what King Solomon said, and who did he acknowledge, and what did he recognize, and all these resources and those gifts that he enjoyed that exceeded anyone that lived on the planet. Here's what he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 2. He said, a man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he want nothing for his soul of all that he desire. It is God that placed me in this position, church. It is God. And it's only 2 centuries later that the nation of Israel forget about it. Solomon is the last of the monarchy, a monarch that ruled over Israel. Remember, you had Saul, you had King David, then you had Solomon, and after Solomon, Israel was divided. They were divided. Now, you would think that this nation would remember what the man said. But I submit to you as we move into Hosea that the nation of Israel was in their intoxication of idolatry. It caused them to forget about what the most wealthy and the wisest man in Israelite history, where he said blessings come from. It comes from a benevolent God and not Baal. And the children of Israel have moved into not accounting the blessings accurately. It got to a place where every good gift, every perfect gift, all the resources, all the produce, they begin to say, it is by my hand or by this paganite deity, Baal, that we get our blessings from. Well, the northern kingdom has become more and more idolatrous and suffers at the hands of the Syrians and is finally carried away captive by the Assyrians in 722 BC, just like Hosea said it would. You have your Bible now. Turn to Hosea chapter 10, verses 1 through 8 as we get ready for our lesson. Hosea 10, verses 1 through 8. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land that had made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king. Because we feared not the Lord, what then should a king do to us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely, and making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because the calves of Bethaven, for the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof shall that rejoice on it for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. It shall be also carried unto Assyria for a present for King Jareb. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water. The high places also of Avon, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on the altars. And they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. From our text this morning, I want you to consider with me nine statements in order to see Hosea's position on Israel's spiritual condition. There'll be nine statements from our text that we want to bring to our attention so you can see accurately the prophecy of this prophet. His prophecy concerning the nation of Israel. Nine statements I want you to visit. Number one, first statement is, in our text, we have an assessment of Israel's sinful state. We have an assessment of Israel's sinful state. We find it in verse one. The prophet says, you're an empty vine, you're an empty vine that bring forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, hath he increased the altars. Well, as in Hosea chapter 9, verse 10, what we see in this prophecy applies to what I call an agricultural metaphor. It's an agricultural metaphor that points to an earlier time in Israel's history. You see, the Lord planted Israel like a fruitful vine. Notice Israel did not plant itself. Mr. Bill Gates, you did not plant yourself. Mr. CEO, Mr. Executive, dad, mom, professional person, young person, you did not get that degree yourself, independent of God. God is the one that plants. And God says, I planted Israel like a vine in the land of Canaan and blessed her with bountiful fruit. Now I want you to take the lesson. You would think Israel would be grateful. You would think Israel would say, blessings belong to the Lord. To God be the glory. Great things he had done. But we are no different than Israel. Because what happened to Israel is that they got the big head. Israel became big-headed and blinded. Because she believed that the blessings came from Baal, a Canaanite deity.
How did you draw that conclusion, Israel? What was in their heart to remove glory and blessings to a gracious and benevolent God and move to a pagan deity for and give him the credit? So what we see, you are an empty vine. That's your simple state. Number one, that was a simple state. Next statement. We also see in the same verse an abuse of God's blessings. An abuse of God's blessings. What was the abuse? Because he bringeth forth fruit unto himself. Unto himself. An abuse of God's blessings. And write this reference down. Hosea chapter 2, verse 8. In Hosea chapter 2, verse 8. You see, they forgot that, first of all, God gave you the corn. God gave you the wine. God gave you the blessing. God gave you the money. He gave you the resources. And then you're going to do with it whatever you want. God blessed Israel with material abundance, but they spent it on themselves. Pastor, I ain't giving no tithe because this is my money. Pastor, I'm not giving anything. I'm not letting God use none of my resources. I want to keep some resources for myself. God blessed Israel, and they took God's blessings and took his resources and built idols, created altars. Israel enjoyed the blessing of God, but what they do? They took those blessings and used them in ungodly ways. There's an apostle by the name of Paul, and he gives us a warning about this kind of behavior, this kind of conduct. If you write the reference, please write this reference down, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul the apostle said to us, brethren, you have been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't use your liberty, don't use your blessings that God gave you for your own fleshly pursuits. Too often, sometimes as Christians, we take our liberty and our blessings from God and forward them in our lives in a way where we are fleshly. God gives us blessings, and we use them for ourselves. Can I help you out with some of those things that what we do when we take God's blessings and don't appreciate them and not good stewards of them and we think it belongs to us? What are the specific blessings that, if we're not careful, that you began to use in ungodly ways? How about even your employment? Your job. You don't work as unto the Lord. You work unto yourself. You steal time on the clock. You look for an opportunity to take advantage. And at the same time, you're again working for yourself and not doing the best to give God the glory, not being a good witness. And it breaks my heart. What a reproach in the body of Christ today that we got people on the workplace saying they are Christians and the employer and the boss says, I want nothing to do with them. They get no promotion. Because you are not representing who you are. Yes, you've taken that gift of work. You've taken that gift of being employed, and you're using it for ungodly ways, your own fleshly pursuits. How about your money? That's enough in itself. What you spend your money on, what you invest in. No, I'm not going to donate to the ministry. I'm going to give when I'm comfortable to give. I'm going to give these resources because they're still my resources. And you're uncomfortable. And when you talk about money, you get uncomfortable. But you fail to realize it's God's money. Give yourself a break. Take a deep breath and say, when you get your check, when you have your resources, go to your bank account. Look and say, you know what? Look at God's account. It'll help you out. Don't take a fleshly pursuit. Don't be fleshly with that good and you hoard. I'm going to hold on to this because the world, the economy's collapsing. I'm going to make sure I take care of myself. I'm only concerned about me. And you get a stingy heart. Be careful. Don't use that liberty or that resource and that blessing in a fleshly way. Our employment, our money, our time, our bodies. Lord, this is your body. I'm glad to have this body. I need to be a better steward of this body. I got to be careful what I do with this body. I'm not going to mark it. I'm not going to cut it up. I'm not going to do whatever. This is God's, but when you handle your body in fleshly ways, there's consequences for that. How else do we take God's blessings? How about God blesses you with a relationship? He blesses you with marriage. He blesses you with fellow Christians in the body of Christ. Are you engaging in fleshly activity? Are you being worldly and fleshly with the relationships you enjoy? Mama, don't elevate the child more than your husband. Husband, don't love the daughter or the son more than your wife. In a marital situation, the number one most important human relationship is the spouse. Grandmama, I love you. One day I look forward to being a granddad and glory be a grandmama, but here's what we know. I cannot elevate my grandchildren above my God. And when my brother and I was having a conversation, you need to know what these relationships, how do we handle them fleshly? If you've been blessed to get into another marriage and there's a blended situation where the person you're getting ready to marry have kids from a previous marriage, but God has did the healing and the restoration, don't you elevate those children over your new spouse? Because if you do that, then again, you're not handling God's blessings biblically. Don't worship. Don't idolize. I wasn't going to go there, but I'm picking on myself. Be careful how you eat. That's enough said. I'm not saying anything else on that one. Our eating, should it not glorify God? My forms of entertainment. I got the liberty to go to movies. I got the liberty to go to ball games. I got the liberty to do a lot of things. But again, don't take these liberties and these blessings for an opportunity for the flesh. I don't know about you, but my flesh does not need any extra help. We don't need our bodies to be in a situation. We don't need to be in a place where we're not glorifying God. So again, an abuse of God's blessing is what we see with the nation of Israel. To help us with this, before I move to the next statement, I want to point again to what Paul the Apostle did to help us with our money, to help us with our time, to help us with our bodies, to help us in our relationships, to help us with our eating and our form of entertainment and recreation. Here's a good note. Here's a good passage. Put it on your refrigerator, on the dashboard of your car. Make sure you remind yourself all the time. Here's a good reference. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And in 1 Corinthians 10:31, the Bible says, whether you therefore eat or drink, and then highlight this word, whatsoever. Everybody say, whatsoever. Whatsoever. Whatsoever you do, do it to the, everybody say, glory of God. That'll settle it. Can you imagine me, now I'm going to date myself. I don't know what they call it today, but in the world, when I was in the streets out there in the world, my BC days, I had my 40. Anybody know what a 40 is? Yeah. And you got your 40. You don't drink your 40. I'm doing it for the glory of God. You lighten up, firing up because of the glory of God. You are handling. What we do, how does that? That doesn't glorify God. Not the God of the Bible. My language to my wife, that should glorify God. My respect for my husband's leadership, that should glorify God. Whatever we do, does it say whatsoever? And if you want to get too crazy about it, make sure you iron your clothes and press them all night and neat and color coordinated. No, be careful with that one. I'm dressing for the glory of God. What are you talking about, Pastor? No wrinkles. Wrinkles don't glorify God. No. Whatever you do, do it for his honor and his glory. So people walk away impressed with God and not you. Did you hear me? When God's being glorified, and I know that I might get some emails on this one, but you get your little tattoos and things like that. I just want to tell you something. Am I walking away impressed with your tattoo, or am I walking away with God? Something to think about. Something to entertain, think about. Now, Israel, get back to our text, go back to Hosea, So, what would cause people to not to abuse his blessing? We abuse God's blessing, and we begin to, it's a downward spiral. It moves to a place where there's ingratitude, and we don't thank God. And if you're not in the business of thanking God, when you omit to thank God and give him the glory for the hands in your life, next thing you know, you lifting up hands of idolatry. You lifting up hands of hypocrisy specifically. Hands of hypocrisy. Notice they were increasing their altars. They were putting an altar for this and an altar for that. They were making altars. They were erecting altars that was based off their senses. It feels right to me. It looks right to me. So it must be right. It sounds right to me. It makes sense to me. Nonsense. That does not make any godly sense. We create an idol. We give it eyes. We give it a mouth. We give it ears. But it can't even see what's going on in your life. It can't even listen and hear your heart. And it would never speak to you. And if that idol speaks to you, then you know it's demonic. It made no sense because they were so sensory oriented. And even today, in our current context, let's turn down the lights a little bit, little pastor. Let's burn some incense candles, pastor. Let's get it so we can create an aesthetic, create an environment so I can feel God. Faith didn't come by feeling. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. Because a lot of this stuff, what they are feeling and they're experiencing, look nothing like God, according to the scriptures. Yes, God, the Holy Spirit, you think what did the Bible say the job of the Holy Spirit was? The Father sent the Son sent the Spirit, and the Spirit will always testify and exalt who? Jesus. Jesus not exalted when you're rolling on the floor and barking like a dog. Jesus is not exalted when you're shaking with convulsions. Jesus is not exalted when it's all about you. God is not. And if it's not the Holy Spirit, please, 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 church, call it for what it is. The other one, the other spirit. And it's not holy. And that's what happened. Satan wants worship. Don't you know that? Satan wants to be exalted, and he's got involved in the worship of the Israelites with all these idols, because behind every idol is a devil. And they start making all these idols here. But here's the thing. And they still wanted to call upon the name of God. Hypocrisy.
We thank you for joining us today for the first part of Pastor Bernard's message, Take Account of Your Blessings. In today's message, Pastor Bernard emphasized that all good gifts come from the Lord. He also challenged us to evaluate what we do with God's blessings. The Bible tells us that whatever we do, we should do all for the glory of God. What about you? Are you being a good steward of the blessings that God has given you? In enjoying God's blessings, we must remember the admonition of the Apostle Paul. In enjoying our liberties, we must not promote the flesh. We invite you to join us for the continuation of this message during our next program on Saturday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. If you are interested in contacting our ministry, please visit our website at cbfdelray.org or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We'd love to hear from you. This ministry is supported by listeners like you. If Capturing His Conscience has been a blessing to you, please prayerfully consider visiting our website and making a donation to support this work of the Lord. Until next time, this is Tom Moon, encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.